The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Make some noise! It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. We are continuing on through the year of guys that have stood out in games, and this week is a player who I've mentioned many times through my podcast of being my favorite Chicago Bear, and I mean that full-heartedly because he, from what I have seen, amazing person off the field, amazing player on the field, and he defends our quarterback, Justin Fields, when Justin gets hit late, and we like to see that. So this week is on Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins this week, I'll just go through some of the numbers of why I've picked Tevin. And if you're watching the Bears games, you already know why we're picking Tevin Jenkins. But according to PFF, he's the fifth highest guard in the entire NFL when it comes to that position. Let's also mention he's had to jump back and forth between left guard, right guard. He also missed some time from injury and came back, went full speed into the game, no hesitation. He has the fifth lowest blown block rate. He has allowed zero sacks, zero blown pass blocks, which is obviously what you want to see. 4.74 points above average, the ninth highest for guards, and 6.3 points above replacement, 12th highest for guards. So it's just numbers after numbers of Tevin. And when you see him week by week, he just is one of those guys who's constantly making plays, and he'll get his own block and then go help somebody else also. And we see the pancakes from him constantly. So today, Making Monsters is on Tevin Jenkins, and we have a full roster today of people hopping on to talk about Tevin, and I think that kind of shows the type of person he is because everyone's so willing. So number one, we have Tevin's older brother, Jalen Jenkins. Jalen, thanks for hopping on with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so obviously I want to get to the football side, but I think a very important part of your lives happened when you were younger, and I'm sure that shaped the type of people you guys are. You lost your mom to breast cancer when I think Tevin was 8. How far apart are you guys?
4 years apart. Okay. I was 12. Yep.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that. Obviously, that's an experience that really kind of forms the type of person you become as you get older, and people can take that different ways. How did you guys, you and Tevin, kind of use each other to get through that situation?
Yeah. Obviously, it was an extremely tough time. I think still it's something that we kind of struggle with, I guess, coping, trying to understand to this day. But at that time, I think with me being 12, middle school, it was hard. I couldn't really grasp why it was happening or in that situation. And Tevin being 8, I think it was just hard on him because that was his mom.
Yeah.
He was really with her more than I was.
Okay.
So that was like he was more of the mama's boy. I was kind of with my dad more than anything. But
yeah,
it definitely hurt us. And it made me jump into that big brother role and kind of have to like, hey man, I'm here for you. We is both of our moms. It's not like it was a separate thing. So it was kind of like one of those things where I had to just kind of take control and kind of, I don't want to say explain to him some things, but like over time, once we got older, it was kind of like, all right, I got to be there for him even more now because it's just tough.
Yeah. Which, and that's even more difficult for you because I feel like I went through a similar situation, and I'm 5 years older than my brother. So it's one of those things where you kind of feel like you do have to be a little more tough because you feel like you need to be the one that's like supporting your younger sibling. But sometimes that's hard because you're going through that too. And I did read that. And it's funny that you said you're close with your, you were kind of more of a daddy's boy. He was more of a mama's boy, which I heard is kind of your personalities too. You're more like your dad. And do you see a lot of your mom and Tevin?
I do. I do see a lot of him or of her and him. She was really strong-willed and really personable, made everyone happy. And I see that with Tevin too. He's really personable. I see like his interviews. He likes to joke around and do things like that. And he's passionate too. Like she was passionate about everything. She made sure that even though we didn't have the best income, she made sure that we still got what we wanted most of the time, and she just wanted us happy. That's the thing. And I see that with him. He I'd say over time he started being more of a family person. He wanted to be more caring and more loving towards us. There was a span where, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, we didn't talk much. I went to college and he was in high school. And then once he got to college and I was getting out of college, I finally kind of stepped in and started texting him, calling him all the time, checking in with him, making sure he was okay. And I think at that point, once he got to college, is where we really, really started a really tight bond. And I thought that was really important for us to kind of get that going and not let kind of fall off type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that sibling relationship is important. And obviously your dad, a huge factor in a lot of this because he had a huge role to take over. He, you know, losing your mom kind of had you too. And there was a lot of stuff going on. You both played sports and multiple sports, and then you have just normal day-to-day life. And I know your grandma was involved in this too, and she helped out. But how important was your dad to both of you through all of those times of, you know, going to school and playing sports and getting you guys involved in that stuff?
He was amazing. He's a great dad. The amount of sacrifices he had to do for us, time, money, just getting us to where we needed to be. Obviously, I was playing multiple sports, basketball and baseball, and he was playing football, basketball, and baseball. And I'd have to end up going with another family somewhere so he could take my brother somewhere. So it was all those different things that had to happen logistically. But yeah, Dad, I don't know how he did it. He raised two great young men, and I think Tevin, he grew up to be a great man, and he'll be a good father too.
Congrats to Tevin because he has a baby on the way, so that's super exciting. All right, Jalen, let's get to some football because obviously when you said you both played multiple sports, what was the beginning? What was the first sport each of you played, and how did football come into play for both of you?
So I started out playing T-ball. So I was a big baseball guy. He really started out really playing. I think he started out playing football. We started like flag because I was older, obviously older than him. So we started playing flag, and I was a quarterback, and he was just the snapper for us and stuff like that. But once he put those pads on and started playing tackle football, it was like a whole different kid was out there. And he played basketball and stuff like that, but I felt like at a young age, when I was watching him play, it was just like it looked too easy. even at a young age, it was just like this guy is an animal. Like I would go to games and I'd be happy to go. I'm like, oh, who's he going to take care of today type of thing. Like it got to the point where like I just wanted to take a video camera and just record everything because the games that he would play in, like it was insane. I remember one game, you know, you're younger, they have the weight limit, like you have the sticker on your helmet, you can't run the ball type of thing. And my dad had told him, he said, if you score a touchdown, I'll give you $100, which shouldn't happen because he can't run the ball anyways. So he was just kind of trying to, and this is when he was playing a little bit of defense. So he ends up breaking through the line, taking the ball from the running back and running about 65 yards for a touchdown. And my dad's like, "Oh no, blow the whistle. He should be no score." So he ends up scoring a touchdown, and then literally, like, my dad was like, "Okay, maybe it's kind of like a almost like an incentive thing. Like, all right, if I want to push him, he's going to do this." But he didn't need to. He didn't need to push him too hard.
Yeah.
And then like over the years, middle school, high school, he got bigger. It just got even more fun to watch because he would just manhandle kids.
Yeah.
And I think looking back at it, I didn't think he would transition the way he did from high school to college to the NFL, doing the exact same things that he started doing to people when he was younger.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I don't want to say it shocked me, but it opens my eyes and it's like, okay, he might be the real deal type of thing. Like, he is doing the same things he's done since he was younger.
A kid, yeah. Was he always playing those line positions, whether it was D-line or offensive line?
Yeah, he was always on the line. Okay. But he always had that sneaky speed. He would track running backs down when he'd be on defense type of thing. It was pretty fun to watch. But yeah, he didn't really play any skilled positions. I mean, he played first base in high school and stuff like that. But
yeah.
So
when you guys were growing up, obviously, I know you said there was a period of time that maybe you didn't talk a lot. But was there still like a competitiveness factor between you two growing up, maybe elementary, middle school?
Yes, there definitely was. Most of the time, I'd have to drag him out of the house so he could come out and we could play some basketball in the street or just play catch, because usually I'm gonna stay inside and play Xbox. So, in our neighborhood, when we moved in, there had to be at least 20 kids in the neighborhood. So we'd always play street football or go to the big field and play. And no one knew I had a brother because he stayed inside and played video games all the time. So once he came out and he started growing and getting bigger, they're like, "Who's this kid?" I'm like, "That's my brother."
"That's my brother."
"You have a brother? You have a brother?" And I'm like, "Oh God." So yeah, but it was extremely competitive because we would kind of, I don't want to say we'd pick on him, but we would pick on him a little bit because he was the younger one in the neighborhood. And I think that's one reason why he's so tough now.
Yeah.
Is because growing up with me and then all the other kids in the neighborhood who were just as athletic and just as big, we would just kind of treat him like he was 4 years older. So he had to learn real quick how to become tough and turn that switch. And
yeah,
you guys see it today, obviously.
Yeah, we definitely do. And I guess in part, then he should thank you for getting him out of the house and having him play sports a little bit but it's funny. I think about this all the time because same when I was growing up, we were always outside. I don't know, like you had to, my mom had to like force me to get back into the house because we were always playing basketball or kickball or football or whatever it was. And so it's like, that's just the kind of way we all grew up, is outside playing sports with your friends. And you would pretty quickly tell the friends that were actually athletic and the ones that were just out there just trying to have fun. There was a big divide in that. Let's a little bit about high school. I know you said maybe you guys weren't talking as much during that time, but did you have conversations at all when he was going through the recruiting process and trying to decide where he wanted to go to college?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was at school and I didn't really try to come home as much as I should have. Uh-huh. But when we would have conversations, mostly it'd be like, "What do you think? How was the visit?" type of thing. "Do you like this school?" It's kind of just seeing how he felt when he'd go on the visits, because you want to feel welcomed. You want to feel like a little bit of love from wherever you're going to go visit and see how much they really want you. And the visit that I went on with him was to Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And I was there through the whole thing, talking to Gundy, talking to the other coaches, listening. And I felt like they really, really wanted him. Like, they were like invested, like, "We want you," like, not begging, but like, "Please, please
come help us."
Yeah. "Please come and take care of business here." But yeah, I mean, I just wanted him to feel like he was at home wherever he went. And I think that's the main reason why he chose Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Because the coaches and whatnot helped him feel like he was at home. Even though he had, I think, three or four different offensive line coaches while he was there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, but it might have helped a little because they all coach different.
Yeah.
So he's learned a lot of different techniques through the different coaches.
Yeah.
So,
which is definitely something we see. And like we see, he also had that at Oklahoma State, like the versatility. You saw him all over the line. I think he played both guards and both tackles at some point while he was at Oklahoma State. And obviously the Bears traded up to draft him as a left tackle. He hurt his back that year, so missed the first season. And when he came back, they kind of shifted him around. But it's like wherever they put Tevin, he's successful. And that's one of my favorite things about him is like he doesn't complain. They're like, hey, you're going to play left guard. You're going to play right guard. You're going to play right tackle. And he's like, whatever you need me to do. Because he's our best offensive lineman and he needs to be on the line at somewhere. So I'm glad he's been able to figure that out. And we missed a little bit of injury in the beginning of the season. I hope he stays healthy because when he's out there, the line just looks so much different. And I mentioned this earlier, and when I say he's my favorite Bear, I mean that. I gloat about this all the time about how he's just like the epitome of the type of guy that I want on the Chicago Bears. And I say this because I feel like, now correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like he kind of has this like teddy bear personality outside of the football, off the football field, outside of the locker room. But when he's on the football field, he turns into a bear, a monster. And he's that guy that's going to protect the quarterback. He's going to get those extra blocks. He's going to do what he can. And it's kind of that competitive really clicks when he hits the football field.
Yeah. At home, he is a teddy bear. Like I said, he's really caring. He wants you to know that he's there for you type of thing. And when he talks to, like, we go out and he talks to fans and they're like, geez, you're really nice. And then how could you do that to people on the field? It's two different guys.
Yeah.
And it is like he has that switch. He flips it. And I remember like college, like I'd ask him about like plays, like why'd you do that to this guy? Like that was a little too much. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yep. He flipped the switch and he just was going crazy that game. Like it's one of those things like not everyone has it.
No. Definitely not.
Not everyone has it, and it's a good tool to have. But yeah, he's definitely a teddy bear.
Yeah, I love it. And it's funny because when he was coming back from injury this year, he posted a picture on Instagram, and I think it was like Dragon Ball Z or something. That's not my realm of familiarity, but. And so I was like, this must be good. So I screenshot it, sent it to a friend that I knew did watch Dragon Ball Z. And I was like, hey, what does this mean? And he was like, that means Tevin's ready to go. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Pretty much. Yeah, he charged back up and was ready to get back in action.
I love it. All right, Jalen, final one for you before I let you go, because obviously, like I said, Bears traded up to draft Tevin for that left tackle position. That first year didn't go as we planned because he ended up having to have back surgery. But since then, he's just been one of the most consistent, best pieces that we've had. But what were his feelings at first when being drafted by Chicago and kind of some of this process the last few years that he's been here, having to move around a little bit, coaching changes, you know, quarterbacks trying to figure out all of that stuff? What's been his feelings towards Chicago?
I think he loves Chicago. I mean, injuries happen.
Yeah.
They happen, and you just got to roll with the punches type of thing. And having to transition from left tackle to right tackle, right guard, left, like I would call him like a chameleonaire. Like anywhere he goes, he'll fit in.
Yeah,
if you give him a job to do, he'll do it. No matter if you ask him to do anything, like he'll do anything you want. He'll. But as far as Chicago and how he likes it, I hear no complaints.
Good.
I feel like he wants to stay there for a long time. I know the city likes him. Obviously, you love him. Everyone loves him. He brings that old school Bears mentality to Chicago again. Uh-huh. And I feel like when he's out there, the other guys feed off of his energy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something, like I said, not everyone has. And when you do have someone that you're playing with that has that, it just makes you want to play even harder as well.
Yeah, Oh, I agree. And we see that out of him. And we kind of even had joked recently because the center position in Chicago, I don't know if you, I'm guessing you watch every game.
There
was the game a few weeks ago. I want to say it was the game Justin got hurt, actually. And like four snaps went over Justin's head. And I was like, I wonder if Tevin can snap the ball, because I feel like if you'd put him there, he'd be successful too, because that's just kind of the vibe you get from Tevin Jenkins.
Right. He probably could give him a few practice snaps on the sideline. I'm sure he can get it taken care of.
All right. Well, Jalen, thank you so much for hopping on. I really appreciate it. It's a great story between you two, and I'm glad you guys kind of like found your way back to each other, because having that sibling, having your sibling be able to be close and like be your supporter and your best friend is a good thing to have. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on, talking more about our guy, Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins, once again, had another fantastic game last night. One penalty on Tevin last night, but you don't see that often from him. And he just makes block after block. And it's one of the things that you just continue to see his progress. And when he's on the football field, it's a different world. So we are going to talk about the sort of beginning of Tevin Jenkins. And today we are joined by Coach Carlos Kelly. He's the head coach at Topeka High School, where Tevin played, still their coach. So it's been a long time. I know when Tevin Jenkins was there, you were an assistant coach, now the head coach. So thank you so much for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. No problem.
So let's talk a little bit about the beginning. I know you knew Tevin beyond even high school, I think back into the middle school days, I believe. So tell us a little bit about your first experience with Tevin and what you saw from him on the football field.
Oh, yeah. Tevin's always been a good-sized kid, very athletic. Believe it or not, he was a heck of a baseball player. And he played a lot of baseball and was pretty good in basketball, too. I went to high school with his mom and dad. His dad was a great basketball player. And
I heard, you know, a big
led
guy.
The city in scoring. Yeah, led the city in scoring. And his mom was a track star.
Oh, wow.
So that's where Tevin gets a lot of that ability. Able to move and run, and then having a great background of what he grew up with, a good family. They're actually neighbors. He lived behind me, a street behind me.
Oh my goodness!
Growing up, yeah. So I've known him since he was pretty much in diapers, for a long time. But watching him mature and his older brother mature and older, they've always been really great athletes and really, really had a good supporting cast.
Yeah, that's when I actually talked to Jalen yesterday, and he told us some really fun stories about Tevin just from the beginning, about how he kind of had to force him out of the house sometimes. All the kids would be in the neighborhood playing, and Tevin would want to be inside just kind of playing his video games and doing his thing inside, and Jalen kind of had to force him outside a little bit. And I was like, well, maybe he should thank you now, because now he's playing offensive line in the NFL, which is really cool. But tell us a little bit about the beginning of his football. So obviously, I know when you're younger, you're trying to kind of figure out where these kids can play, and a lot of times they'll play both sides of the ball, they'll play multiple positions. When do you think that it really started to show that Tevin could be an offensive lineman and make that kind of a career?
I would say it was probably eighth grade year. We played an AAU team where we would gather all the best eighth graders in the city and the surrounding area and put them on a travel team. We go to Iowa or Kansas City, or Nebraska, if we could. And it gets cold up here, so it's kind of hard to play football in December. And you know, the Midwest, especially younger kids, because it's so cold and the ground's frozen. But he had a different switch he would hit. And there was, even in high school, there's one particular time. I know we talk about that. Everyone's seen that movie, Blindside. Mm-hmm. He did that before that movie came out. Several times on the high school football field, he put somebody on the track.
Ooh.
Literally, you know, took them to the track. He just has a, when he hits steps on that field, he just flips. Mm-hmm. I mean, he becomes a, like what your show's called, beginnings of a monster. I mean, he's just, you know, and a lot of kids don't have that ability to turn it on and turn it off. And he's shown that at the very early age, that he's a competitor. And when he's going to do something, he's going to make sure it gets done. And he does it the right way.
Yeah, and you see that already almost initially with him in the NFL. And unfortunately, you know, the Bears drafted traded up to draft Tevin. And that year, unfortunately, he got a back injury and missed the entire season. And some people were concerned, but everybody I talked to were like, when he's on the field, you are going to see an impact, and you have every single game he's out there, which it just made me think of, because before I hit the record button, Coach, we were talking about our football seasons and how your high school football season, the playoffs kind of just wrapped up there, and here in Florida, they're just getting going. That makes a lot more sense now that I just thought about the weather, because we have 80 degrees right now, and I'm sure you guys aren't in that.
Yeah, and it's probably higher or longer.
Yes, you know, yeah.
So.
Let's talk about some of the traits, because obviously we know, and I talked to, like I said, I mentioned his brother Jalen, and his brother Jalen, I mentioned the word teddy bear. I was like, it seems like Tevin is kind of off the football field, a little more quiet teddy bear type of guy, but when he is on the football field, like you said, it's like a switch flips, and he turns into this true competitor, this just mauler, I guess is one of the words they use during the draft process of a lot of linemen. But what are some of those traits that you think through high school and through college and now the NFL have been able to transfer so well for him to be successful?
Well, I think you can see that in every day. If you run in or have any interactions with Tevin, he's really, really compassionate. I think he has a lot of empathy for his teammates and people in his community and everyone around. He grew up with his mom, you know, passed away at an early age. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was him and his dad a lot and his brother. So they cared for one another. I think he grew up with a lot of different opportunities, I think, with his mom, and mm-hmm. and I think he appreciates everybody's that's around him, and I think he really doesn't have a mean soul in his body when he's off that football field. Mm-hmm. I think he's just a real compassionate guy, and those traits just translate to being a great teammate, soon to be a great father, right? And,
yes,
and then a great husband. So I mean, he has all those attributes, and that's really great to see. And to see him carrying it on and mm-hmm. and being on the greatest stage of all NFL.
Yes.
Wow.
Tell us a little bit about the process for him, because obviously when kids in high school are choosing the next place they go play, it's a big decision. They're making a choice for the rest of their lives almost of where they're going to continue their career of playing football. Tell us a little bit about that recruiting process for Tevin, because there were several schools. I know Nebraska was one of them. Missouri, I believe, was another that all gave him offers, and he ended up choosing Oklahoma State. So tell us a little bit about that process for him, how he handled it, and maybe like the way that kind of led him to Oklahoma State.
Well, I wasn't the head coach at the time, but I know Coach A. Mm-hmm. Walt Alexander was a big integral part of helping him to navigate that. But, you know, Tevin's a guy that's loyal. And I think the first school that I think really jumped out and really got behind him, and it wasn't even any teams local. I think Oklahoma State jumped on him first.
Okay.
And then after Oklahoma, and he had a bond with that O-line coach, I think that's what sold him. I mean, and it's like, you know, once you get that one offer, everybody comes out the woodwork. Oh, well, yeah. Who's this? And they didn't know. I mean, underrated, unrecognized, unsought after. And we're on a great team. He was on a good team. You know, it wasn't like we wasn't winning games or anything. Mm-hmm. They were. And how did he go under the radar? I don't know. But they missed out on something pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it worked out. I mean, he was able to go to a great program in Oklahoma State, play with great coaches, and learned a lot from his O-line coach. And I know he pays homage to him quite a bit. And that's, you know, that's what he sold on.
Yeah.
People who care about him, and he's a very loyal cat. So.
Which obviously we see that already in Chicago. He made comments recently, and the Bears hasn't been the most fun career so far in Chicago for Tevin. There's been a lot of losing in Chicago. They're kind of in that rebuild phase of figuring things out. But even yesterday he made the comment of, I would love to be a Chicago Bear for my career because I love it here. I love the fans. So you can tell he's just that type of player who is, like you said, the loyalty, and that's a big thing in all levels of football. But I know the main thing with an offensive lineman, Coach, is that I think that a lot of times it's hard to directly put on statistics to them, obviously. When there is some sort of stat attached to them, it's usually negative. It's usually
they allowed X amount of sacks or they had X amount of penalties. But some of the things that maybe go under the radar sometimes is how well the run game is working when the certain offensive lineman's on the field, or how good the pass protection is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things when you are coaching and you're looking for offensive linemen that you're are those things that you notice right away? Are those things that kind of build up through their careers that become more noticeable?
Well, you can notice some things, little small attributes that he does. Like he's blocking for a running back or a quarterback, and those guys are tackled. You know, who's the first guy running down and picking that guy up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm that protector. That's the stuff that he was doing in high school and middle school. He didn't just like go back to the huddle and do blocks as running backs and picked himself up. But I mean, that goes back to Coach A's program back then, where you know, linemen were expected to do protector things. So I mean, he did that at an early age before he was even expected to do that. So I mean, you can see small things like that and kind of gravitate, and how players and teammates around him gravitate. You know, I mean, that's when you see somebody like that. That's kind of what, you know, we kind of look for. And then how well effective and how well can they move another person against their will, you know, and repeatedly do it, not just in the beginning, but at the very end, and as you're getting stronger. And so a lot of times, Tevin, he just gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know, he gets more, as the game goes on, it gets even, you know, more effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wears on people, and that's how you can tell. I mean, that's how we look at things, and a lot of other coaches probably do as well. How well do they wear on others?
And he's a finisher, and that's one of the things that I've also noticed from Tevin, is he's not that guy who makes his block and when he feels like he made his block is done. He gets these guys to the ground, and it's one of the things that you really like to see from him, because when you have a quarterback like Justin Fields right now, Justin Fields is a very mobile quarterback. He's moving all over the place. That's hard on an offensive lineman, because they're not having to just like make their block and be done. They're having to kind of protect for a longer periods of time sometimes, you know, and you can see that from Tevin. And you mentioned it earlier just about how, you know, that switch flips, the switch flips for him. Has it always been that, to where the moment he gets on the field, you kind of see this extra feistiness from Tevin? Is that something from the get-go that you always saw from him?
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you a story, too, that I seen, that he had a switch flip playing baseball. Imagine this guy playing center field, you know, a big kid, you know. He hawks down a ball and hits the fence, bounces off the fence and throws a laser and throws a kid out at home plate. It's almost comparative to the Bo Jackson throw.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh, yeah.
you know, I mean, that was Tevin coming off the fence, like a, you know, fell into the fence and just rocketed a ball to home plate.
Wow.
You know, granted, he was in like, what, 11 or 12, so it might have been only 250 feet,
but
at that young age, just, yeah, did not give up and just go ahead and shell out a rip a throw like that was. And I still remember that to this day, you know, and here he is playing offensive lineman, but,
yeah,
you know, playing center field.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. Was there ever a time where maybe he debated which sport he wanted to stick with, or was football always kind of like his main thing?
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think when you know his personality and you know how much of a competitor he is, you know, like football is a natural progression for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's basketball and then there's baseball that was love. But when you can really get your growl on, you know, that's him. That's, you know, you can growl all you want in baseball, but there's not a whole lot of impact you can do. You can do a whole lot of impact, but you know what I'm saying? It's a total different impact, and I think it's when he fell in love, like most of us do when we play football. Most guys will say that. Like, when I found out I could just take all my frustration and anger or whatever and ball it into this competitiveness and drive and do my job and get praised for it, how can you not fall in love with that? And I think that might have transpired with him to make him fall in love with football.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, you don't get a lot of praises. Your name's not in the paper or anything. You know, all the girls see the quarterback or see the running back. But for him to, like you said, polish people off and finish people off with blocks and everything, pancakes, that's just, you know, that sticks out.
Yes.
And he's always he's made plays like that for a long time growing up.
And his
it's just great to see.
It is. And like the pancake thing has become such a Tevin. There's shirts here in Chicago that you can buy that's like Tevin makes pancakes, because that's just like that's what we see. And it's funny because, like you said, it's usually not the offensive linemen that you are really talking about that are on shirts that are being really focused on. But his personality, just what he does on the football field, has really, like, Chicago fans love this kid. And it's honestly incredible to watch, because I love letting the offensive linemen get the attention anyways. My brother was an offensive lineman through high school, so I paid a little more attention to that than maybe I should. But it's so cool to see somebody like this who is so deserving, too, of the attention that he's getting, because he's worked so hard throughout his entire life. And like you mentioned earlier, and I talked to his brother about, they lost their mom very young. He was 8 years old, and that's a difficult thing to get through. There's two different paths you could take once something like that happens, and he chose the right path, and you could tell even to this day.
Yeah. And he's not an angry person. Yeah. You know, he could walk through life with that chip on the shoulder and be angry about that. But, you know, it maybe he turns it into the football. Mm-hmm. And maybe he turns it the other way, where I'll show passion and love for everyone around me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great.
It is.
He smiles a lot.
He does.
And as he gets older, you know, it even transpires. And he's got a family now, and that's even great.
So yes.
To see him happy and being successful is awesome for us all here in Topeka.
Love it. Coach Kelly, final one for you before I let you go. So I'm guessing you have had conversations with Tevin since he's been drafted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, kind of small hellos and stuff. And, you know, I try not to be all in, you know, just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't talked to him for a while, though. It's probably been maybe a year or two.
What about, because you said you live close to his dad, so his dad has to be tremendously proud to be able to watch his kid play in the NFL every weekend.
Oh, exactly. I mean, Big Brad is a proud papa.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the stuff that he had done raising those boys, mm-hmm. Getting them everywhere, every game, every thing that they wanted to do. Man, that food bill. No.
I know. Multi-sport kids, they're hungry.
And the dad, yeah. I mean, you got three boys in that house. It's a great. I mean, that's you know, I think that shows, you know, how good a man Tevin is mm-hmm. by the dad. I mean, if you knew Brad, gosh, same way.
Yeah.
Brad Jenkins is a great, kind-hearted, take the shirt off his back kind of guy. So. Yeah. I mean,
what you can tell.
No surprise, Tevin.
That's what I was about to say. Both sons, I only obviously talked to Jalen and then just watching Tevin, but both of them just seem like they really, their dad raised them right, and they're both very kind, loving, but passionate guys for what they do, and that's the kind of thing you want to see from somebody who, you know, like who has raised by their dad, who maybe struggled through times, but they all got through it, and they're good people.
Sure enough.
All right. Well, Coach, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you chatting with me about Tevin. Again, they're big, big fans of Tevin Jenkins in Chicago, so it'll be fun to continue watch his career grow and just get better and better.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on, and it was great. It was a pleasure talking with you, too.
Oh, thanks so much. Bye, Coach. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, now we are continuing on our episode 4. Tevin Jenkins, I've mentioned a million times on previous podcasts on social media, Tevin Jenkins is currently probably my favorite Chicago Bear just because of the way, obviously, he plays on the football field, but also off the field. He's just one of those guys that is very likable. And so it's been fun to kind of get to know him a little bit more. So now we are going to talk to Coach Greg Adkins. He's a former offensive line coach for Oklahoma State. Obviously, that is where Tevin Jenkins went to college. Coach is now an analyst for South Carolina. So, Coach, thanks so much for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on to talk about Tevin.
Of course. So you mentioned a little bit right before we hit the play button, Tevin Jenkins from Topeka, Kansas, attended Oklahoma State from 2016 to 2020, was drafted by the Bears in 2021 in the second round with pick 39. The Bears actually traded up to draft Tevin Jenkins. So he had offers, Coach, from Nebraska, Kansas State, Missouri, I think a couple more mixed in there, and he chose to head to the Cowboys. Tell us a little bit about that, the recruiting process with Tevin, how he handled it, and maybe or some of the things that led him to choose Oklahoma State.
Well, first and foremost, Tevin was not caught up in all the things that a lot of kids get involved with today in recruiting. He was a kid that was a basketball player, a very good basketball player, a very good athlete. Was a guy that was looking to be developed, mm-hmm. and was definitely not a finished product coming out of high school in terms of his offensive line play or defensive line play at that point. But he was a kid that was looking to be developed and really didn't get caught up, and he was just. When I got involved with him and his dad, they were looking for the right fit in terms of someone that could mentor him, number one, and number two is help develop him to be a better football player. And I knew the kid had the right mindset because he was so competitive, mm-hmm. So competitive on the football field and the basketball court, and was a really good student. And so I think he chose Oklahoma State for a couple different reasons. I think from the development side of things, and he saw an opportunity to come in and, you know, put the work in and potentially, you know, see playing time in maybe his, you know, second year or so.
Now, Coach, was he recruited originally for the offensive line, or was there still questions of which side of the line he would play once he was for Oklahoma State?
No, it was offensive line.
Okay.
It was offensive line all the way. I mean, his dad – yeah, you ever seen or met his dad was big, he's a big fan. And I thought Tevin would, fall in the lines of what his father looked like. And his dad might be 6'8", probably 330, 40, 50 pounds maybe.
Wow.
And his dad was a basketball player in college too. And, I just saw a guy that was very athletic, could bend, change directions, and when you're looking for a developmental offensive lineman, and I labeled him a developmental offensive lineman. He was not a surefire guy that you would say, oh, is going to be the 39th pick of the draft. Mm-hmm. What you would say is a guy that had a huge upside and could bend, change direction. He played the game with the way he plays now. He plays with a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
And that's why he played basketball too. And you know, one of the things that I first loved about him was just the edge that he has. He's a little bit of a quiet, quirky guy. At the end of the day, he played with an edge and he's got an edge to him. And that was what attracted to me more than anything.
Yeah, and Coach, you mentioned that, and it's funny because one of the things that I was going to mention already was something we noticed pretty quickly with Tevin Jenkins, and unfortunately, the first season right after the Bears drafted him, he ended up having to have back surgery, so he missed his whole first season in Chicago, and the next year, though, after some shuffling around and moving and maybe a little bit of questions, he came out, played, and played from the get-go. You just saw he was one of those guys. There's just that extra toughness factor in him when he's on the football field, and that's something that just adds a little extra oomph when you're watching. He's that first guy. If Justin Fields gets hit late, or if there starts to be a little back and forth between in the trenches between the defensive line and the offensive line, Tevin's the first one in the defense's face protecting his guy. And that's just something that we saw almost immediately. Is that kind of what you were talking about when you talk about that edge part of it?
That's 100% what I was talking about. I mean, you go back and pull his high school film up. again, he wasn't the most polished offensive lineman by no stretch of the imagination. But what he did was he still played with an edge, mm-hmm. and you saw that him helping his teammate. And he had a running back that played on his high school team, and I can't think of his name right now, but ended up going to Kansas State, and the same thing happened. That guy would get tackled, and you would see him around the pile, cleaning the pile, you know, doing different things, and that's what I liked about him. He played with an edge.
Yeah, and that's something, like I said, we saw right away. It's something you want to out of when you're seeing your linemen protect your quarterback. It's obviously their job is literally to protect your quarterback, but when they add that extra step of going after somebody, it's really fun to see, and Tevin's just really, he's had that. So, Coach, going back a little bit, he redshirted his freshman season at Oklahoma State, but yep. Tell us a little bit about that process. How much are you able to really see from guys when they are redshirted and obviously not playing in the games that season?
Well, again, he was one of those guys, the way we practiced at Oklahoma State, you know, you felt him on the practice field, whether it was on scout team or when he did get some limited opportunities to work with, you know, the first two units or whatever. But you felt him, and you just knew it was going to be – going to be something that was going to be pretty good, and because you felt him. And I remember a conversation somewhere halfway through the season that we talked about not redshirting him, go ahead and playing him, and because of the way he went about sort of things. And again, he was definitely still not a finished product. And I think my conversation was is that let's not ruin his, you know, what he has now. Let's continue to develop him, and then we may have a four-year starter here.
Yeah, because you obviously don't want to rush those situations, and someone like that, it looks like it paid off. It looked like the path that Tevin Jenkins took was ideal for his career. And another thing that really stands out about Tevin, we're talking about that edge, that little bit, that extra toughness factor he has. And another thing that stands out is the versatility. The first year he played, he was at right tackle and right guard. The following year, he played right tackle and left tackle. We've seen that here in Chicago already. We drafted him, traded up for him technically as the left tackle. And since he got injured, missed that year, he's played right tackle, right guard, left guard. Everywhere you move him, you see success from Tevin Jenkins in that same the same just kind of that toughness and that fierceness that he carries onto the football field no matter where he is. And we haven't seen him complain about it either when they have had to shift him around. What are some of his strengths that kind of allow him to do that and be able to play in so many positions along the line?
Well, I think his again, I think it goes back to athletic ability, his ability to bend, his ability to change directions. And very early on, I felt that he was a smart football player. With a limited amount of football that he played mm-hmm. in high school, I felt like he was a guy that could learn football. And I'm very familiar with the offensive line there completely because I recruited Darnell Wright. I coached Nate Davis, and I coached and recruited and coached Tevin Jenkins. So it seems like everybody at the Chicago Bears I have something to do with a little bit.
Yeah, and it seems like you have a good eye, too, because those are probably all of our favorite guys, and they have – I mentioned how much I love Tevin Jenkins. Nate Davis, new to the Bears, and unfortunately this year he's been a little banged up, so I don't think we've been able to see the fullness of what Nate Davis can do, but you've been able to see it on the other teams he's played for. And then Darnell Wright has just been out of the gate. He's been fantastic, and he's a rookie playing that right tackle, and he doesn't look like he is scared at all when he's on that line of some of the competition that he's had to face. And it's been some really, really tough guys. You mentioned Nate Davis because after you left Oklahoma State, you went to Charlotte. You were coaching at Charlotte. So during that time coaching Nate, what did you see from him that you thought even at that time that maybe would transfer to the NFL when it comes to Nate Davis?
Like, literally the first couple of days I coached him, I said, this guy's going to play in the NFL for 10 years. I just had unbelievable bend and unbelievable power in his lower body. A guy that probably would fit very good in zone schemes. A guy that could set the edge. A guy that can pass protect. You know, a guy just, like, he was special in a number of different guys. And a guy also that had to work at the game. Mm-hmm. He had unbelievable ability. And a guy that worked and was tough. and that sort of thing. And I know, obviously I was excited when he got, I guess he was with the Titans and drafted by the Titans and found you guys in the off season. And, I pay a little bit of attention to the NFL. We're awful busy, but I've noticed that he's been banged up a little bit for you, but I think everybody in Chicago will be very happy when you get the full effect of Nate Davis also.
Yeah, and we're waiting, Coach, unfortunately, for the Bears. The offensive line that we came into this offseason and heading into the season that was supposed to be our starting five, not one time has played a game together this season, because at some point we've been missing different players across that line. Nate Davis was hurt. Braxton Jones was hurt. We saw Tevin banged up a little bit. So each of the guys has kind of been, unfortunately, not all together. But I really, truly believe that when all five are on the field together, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you will see that offensive line that Ryan Poles has really worked at. And I'm confident that it's going to improve a ton within those next couple of weeks. Another player really quick, because now I mentioned in the beginning of this, you've worked for South Carolina now for a few years. A player they just drafted from there on the opposite side of the ball in Zach Pickens. What words or thoughts do you have about Zach Pickens and his time at South Carolina?
Yeah, Zach Pickens is one of my favorite human beings I've ever come across, because number one, he's a great human being. Number two is he's great in the locker room. Number three is he's never met a stranger, in my opinion. Like, he's a very personable kid, and hopefully he's still showing that in Chicago. And you know, my couple years around him, I think the needle's going to point up on him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's done for you guys, to be honest with you, this year. But I know this: you got a high quality character person that I would venture to say that his best football is still ahead of him.
Yeah, the first couple weeks, and it's a very rotational type of defense. That's what Eberflus does. So we are seeing a little less than him, but I will be honest, Coach, within the first 8 weeks, every single game we've seen Zach Pickens get better. And like you said, the arrow pointing up, and I truly believe that. I think within the next couple years, he's going to be a solid piece and foundation of the defensive line, which is really, really cool to see. They also drafted a guy, Javon Dexter, out of Florida. And so both of them have kind of been competing this offseason and into the season for that spot. But I personally think that soon we'll be seeing both of them together starting on the line, which will be really fun. A couple more for you, Coach, before I let you go, because you mentioned, obviously, when I was kind of going back and forth about doing this interview, your son is a tight end for the Broncos. He got drafted by the Broncos this year, and that's just really cool. Number one, you also got to coach him a little bit at South Carolina, and then now you get to see him get drafted and play in the NFL. How was that experience for you so far, and how is that for Nate?
Well, he transferred here, you know, with the way the different things are in college football today. You have different opportunities out there presented to you. And he had played 4 years at East Tennessee State and had graduated. And he had the COVID year. So he got added bonus fifth year. And he kind of looked at it and he said, like, I've done everything I can do here. You know, Dad, what do you think about me going in the portal and, you know, maybe going to play somewhere? I said, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, what do you mean go play somewhere? Like, if you're going to go in the SEC, you're going to come here. if you want to go somewhere else and play, that's fine. But, you know, one of the first phone calls he got was Alabama, and the second phone call was LSU. And so we were fortunate to get him here. And I was excited to have him here last year on our football team, kind of an unsung tough guy that kind of does a lot of dirty work. And fortunately, he got an opportunity to go with the Broncos, and hell, we played against you guys, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. I know at some point you guys played this year. So he's been active for, I don't know, 6, 7 games and inactive for a couple, but I was excited for him to make the Broncos team, and I'm happy for his success.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And obviously you have the experience of you're seeing your players you've coached go through college and then now be successful in the NFL. And then I'm sure your son seeing that with your son as a whole different level. So it's really cool. And the Broncos game was rough for the Bears because they were up 21 and ended up blowing that lead and losing to the Broncos. But I'm sure that was exciting for Nate and the Broncos.
Good for the Broncos.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Coach. I really appreciate you hopping on and talking to me about Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis and Zach Pickens, all of these guys that we're familiar with our offensive line. So I appreciate it, and good luck this weekend against Vandy.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much to Jalen Jenkins, Coach Adkins, and Coach Kelly. They were absolutely wonderful, and I mentioned it multiple times on this podcast. I've mentioned it multiple times on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I've mentioned it multiple times on other podcasts. I truly, truly feel and believe and know Tevin Jenkins is one of my favorite Chicago Bears. He just has that mentality that I love. He has the personality that I love. And he's a really good player. And it's been a long time since I felt like we've had an offensive lineman that I've been able to feel this way with. So it's great. It's fantastic. And he just continues on doing on. If he stays healthy, he is going to be one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL for a long time. So it's super exciting that he is a Bear and we have the opportunity to just keep him and treasure Tevin forever. We are on a victory Friday today, third win of the season. It's only 3 wins, but it's against a team that obviously there was a little bit of circling of the calendar in this aspect because of the DJ Moore and Deontay Foreman and Bryce Young, all of these situations. So it was fun to get the dub there. So let's celebrate and let's say a little cheers to Tevin Jenkins as he continues to have success in the NFL after all of these fun stories throughout his life and unfortunate passing of his mom and being able to just become the person he is out of that. It's really, really cool to see people find success. Thanks, everybody, so much for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it, and I will catch you guys next week. I'm Taylor Dahl, and this is Making Monsters.